Your presence is here, Lord, to touch us, to teach us, to help us to live according to your will, to bring us to that place, Father, where you have pleasure in us. And so, Lord, today we open our hearts, we open our minds, we pray that revelation will flow, that we will receive with our spiritual man, we receive in our heart, we open our spiritual ears to hear this morning. Edify us, teach us. We pray in Jesus' name, and we invite the Holy Spirit to be our teacher. May we hear your voice this morning, not the voice of a man, but the Word of God coming into our heart, from your heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. I want to speak with us this morning on the reality of our redemption. The reality of our redemption. When I talk about the reality, I want to contrast it to just knowing about it. We know a lot of things in Christianity, and much of it just theory. Theory. We know about it. We know about it. I want to talk about the reality of our redemption. As I look over my own life and how I'm growing spiritually, I see that from time to time God opened some things to me and gave me some revelation on some things so that I could understand better and live by the things that God revealed to me. Now, I must tell you that every time, especially as someone who grew up in the church, that every time something new was revealed to me, first of all, it looked silly. What a silly thing that is. It looked so unattainable, some of them. So unattainable. Yes, I know, but I don't think it's for me, or I don't think God really meant that. You know, it's just for us to see God's plan in the Bible and so on. And it looked so unrealistic, so, you know, almost unreal. And some of them even looked false. You know, I remember the first time I heard someone speak on God wants to bless us also in finances, I thought it was heresy. And I actually got a tape to listen to it again, and couldn't listen through it, just threw it in the garbage. It made me sick. And I just didn't understand, you know, when things don't make sense to you, that's what you do. I never understood that. How can we reach this world without God's blessing upon us? I didn't think, you know, that the church must finance the gospel. I didn't think that far. So as I began to understand more and more, and things opened up to me, I could start walking in those things and make them a reality. And that's what I want to talk about, the reality this morning of our redemption. I always believed that God healed people, because I saw some healings, even as a child. I saw some healings take place. Some amazing miracles right in front of my eyes. I could never doubt that. But to believe that God wanted to heal me was a different story. It was always for someone else, not for me. Until one day revelation came that healing is for me. Jesus died, and by his stripes we were healed. Amen. And healing is for every one of us. It's part of our redemption. Yes. It's in the package. Amen. We were not just saved to go to heaven and live a miserable life here on earth. No, God wants to use our testimony to show people his goodness. And so I found out later on that walking in the fullness of my redemption, in all the benefits of my redemption, is a responsibility. Because God wants to use that to show his goodness to the world who believes that God's a bad God. How are they going to believe in His goodness if we don't show them His goodness? Our carnal thinking does not receive the things of the Spirit. That's our problem. That's the handicap we have, our carnal thinking, the societies that we've been raised in, and the impact of religion on our thinking robbed us of the reality of our redemption. And we live below God's standards because we don't fully understand what our redemption meant or what is the full meaning of it. And so, with every revelation, there was first that rejection. And then when it opened up to me, there was the amazement. Isn't that wonderful? Well, yeah. Something bright, something glorious, something powerful, something new. And the wonder of it, that God loved us so much that even small things matter to Him. He's a good God. He loves to give good things to His children. And small things do matter to God. He wants to bless us with even with small things. Then the joy of knowing the truth came. After the amazement, the wonder, the joy of knowing the truth. It is the truth. I begin to discover it in the Bible and find out the Bible is full of it from cover to cover. Suddenly, it's everywhere. And then what hit me last was the challenge of the application. Now I have to apply that truth. I need to live that truth. I need to make it my life. God gave it to me for a reason. Not to just marvel at it, not to just have the joy of knowing it, but the joy of walking in it. The reality of it. God is a practical God. Jesus didn't come to give us religion. He didn't come to give us a lot of theory. He came to give us life, and that more abundantly. That was His goal, and He wants to accomplish that goal in your life and mine. Amen. It's not for the person next to you. It is for you that Jesus came. So the reality of our redemption begins with an understanding of what we were redeemed of. If you don't know what you were redeemed of, then you cannot say farewell to those things. Some of them will linger on and slow you down and weigh you down and keep on plaguing you until you give up sometimes, because the devil's strategy is to discourage us so that we will give up. Now, I'm going to do a teaching on this, so I'll go with points. Point number one. Our redemption begins with an understanding of what we were redeemed of. Galatians 3:13, and we can go there. We're quick. We do things quickly here. Quickly. Galatians chapter 3, and we all know that. That's verse Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. That is what we are redeemed of, the curse of the law. Having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So we were redeemed of the curse of the law. Now, the curse of the law begins with breaking the law. God gave us a law. He gave the Jews a law. And He said, if you live by that law, you'll be blessed. But if you break one little thing in that law, curse will come upon you. And then He gives a list of all the blessings that will come upon you if you live according to that law. But then he gives you a much longer list of the curses that will come upon you if you broke the law. And that list includes everything that is bad. Sickness, poverty, failure. Everything that you can classify under misery is in that list. All kinds of sicknesses, diseases, lack. Anything that comes against you is in that list. That is if you break the law. That list will come down on you. Now, the interesting thing is that nobody can keep the law. The law was just not possible to keep. It wasn't possible to keep. So we all lived under the curse of the law. If you're a lawbreaker, you're cursed. End of the story. And you're living under the curse. And you will find that curse come to you from time to time with something. A sickness or lack or an attack on you or failure of some kind. There'll be something that will come to rob you of the good life and the blessings of God. There'll be something. And they sometimes line up. One after the other, they come. And you wonder, what is wrong? What is wrong here? What am I doing wrong? Well, that's the way the curse works. It's there to destroy you. That is the purpose of the curse. It's destruction. But the good news is that Christ redeemed us of the curse, which means he paid the price. He paid the price. So that curse will be taken away from us. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. He became a curse in our place so that we could be free and receive the blessing that was on Abraham. So, if we are redeemed of the curse, we are redeemed of everything that is in the curse. Which is all forms of sickness, poverty, all kinds of brokenness. Doesn't matter what it is. If you are broken, if you are torn apart, if your life is not filled with the blessing of God, Christ redeemed you of whatever that may be. And to make that a reality means we need to begin to walk in the freedom as redeemed people. We are the redeemed. I think it's David who said, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." I am redeemed. I am free. Free of what? Free of all those things that came against me, that stole from me, that broke me, that robbed my life, that torn my family apart. All those things, I'm redeemed of all those things. I am a free person, and I'm going to walk in the fullness of my redemption as a free person. The good news is, this is not theory. This is practice. This is practice. And I find that theory becomes practice when we begin to see our lives blessed. When we see a turnaround, I used to be a loser, I used to fail, I couldn't do anything successfully, and I struggled on, life was a struggle. But it changed, because I'm not cursed anymore. I'm redeemed. Now the blessing is coming upon me. And you know, just as you couldn't help to be cursed, now that you're redeemed of the curse, you cannot help but be blessed. Praise God, that's the new life that Jesus came to give us. And this is not theory, this is practice. This is a practical truth that Jesus came to give us the fullness of the new life. Not some of it, the fullness of it. And our responsibility is to walk in what Jesus paid for. And to understand, that is for me. The price that he paid was a full price. When he cried out on the cross, "It is finished," what he meant by that is not I'm dying, it's over. No, what he means is the price is fully paid. The price is fully paid. The work is finished. It's the old dispensation is over. The new is coming. And so our lives are different and should be different and can be different. You don't have to live with your brokenness one more day. You don't have to live with lack and poverty one more day. You're redeemed of those things. You are redeemed. Now, there's also a second part to our redemption, understanding of redemption, and that is, if we want to walk in the fullness of it, we need to understand both those parts. First of all, we need to understand what we were redeemed of, but then we need to understand what we are redeemed to. And I think this is probably one area where we often miss the fullness of our redemption. And I'm just going to give it all to us. I'm not going to make any excuse. I love you, and that's why I'm doing this. I don't want to give you half a gospel, because if I stopped here, I could make you happy, but it would be half a gospel. There's more to our redemption than just this. And if you want to walk in the fullness of your redemption, you need to have a full understanding of what it means. Yes, we were redeemed of some things, but the Bible also says that we are redeemed too. And that is something we need to fully understand. Okay, let's go. Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. And verse 8. Revelation 5, verse 8. Now, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, what I mentioned this morning, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God." You are redeemed from the curse, but you are redeemed to God by your blood. Out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. So we are redeemed to God. And we were made priests and kings to God. You know, when you buy something and you pay your money for it, you own that thing that you bought. It's yours. And Jesus came and he paid a price for us. And now there's ownership here. There's ownership here. Now, I know we live in a society where freedom is the idol. You know, I'm a free person. Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me what to do. I know what to do. I do what I want to do. And so on. I don't need to elaborate on that. We're a free people. But if you are purchased and you want to be free of the curse, you need to understand that you now belong to God. There's ownership there. And if you want to walk into the fullness of your redemption, you need to understand you don't belong to yourself anymore. And changes are coming to your life, but just because of that. That means you're not in charge anymore. You know, we call Jesus Lord, which means he rules over us. That is what lordship means. He rules. Now, if you're not willing to let him rule over you and be Lord of your life, you cannot enter into the fullness of your redemption. You cannot do that because you're trying to steal some things, because there's a price paid, before you can make some things your ownership, you need to understand there's another ownership that needs to take effect. And if you're not willing to do that, well, have a nice life. It's not going to be that easy. God expects of us to understand that we don't belong to ourselves anymore. We now belong to Him. And I don't call the shots anymore. He does. And if I don't like that idea, you're going to have to keep on fighting the curse. And I don't want to be legalistic this morning. I just want to explain our redemption. Because in Him we live and move and have our being. In Him we live. Outside of Him, we just exist. But in Him we live and move and have our being. And life is not about a struggle to survive. Life is to be lived to the glory of God. That is why we are here. We are here to glorify His name, not by what we sing, but by how we live. Because our life is a testimony of God's grace, of God's love, of God's saving power to set us free of the curse of the law. It has nothing to do with religion. It has nothing to do with religion, but it has a lot to do with submission to God as our owner. And don't be scared of God. He's a good God. Don't think he wants to rule over you as a dictator and he's going to strip you and rob you of everything that's good and pleasure and fun in life. He'll add to your fun. You'll have to lay down some things, but he will add some more. And now life begins to have real meaning because it originates in the giver of life. And we don't live the lie, we live the truth. We have been redeemed to God. Let's go to Romans chapter 14. Romans 14. I hope everybody gets tired of religion. And I hope everybody understands that all of this is not for Sundays. This is for every day. This is not a Sunday thing we're talking about here. This is every minute of your life thing. This impacts every waking moment of your life. This is not just something that we talk about on a Sunday morning. This is your life. This is our life in Him. Romans 14, verse 7. For none of us lives to himself. And no one dies to himself. Now that part we like. We don't like it we don't like the first part as much as we like the second part. No one lives to himself and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. We live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Amen. Now, there's some good things in this, but I tell you, there are some challenges too. There is some challenges too. God's standards are pretty high to come by sometimes. And He will ask you some things that are not really in your comfort zone. He'll ask you some things that you don't really like to do. He'll demand of you some things that you feel I've done enough. And He'll say, no, it's not enough yet. We're not there yet. Because He is Lord and He owns you. He owns you. And it's not only living in the blessing. There are some responsibilities here in walking with God and listening to Him and obeying Him and submitting to Him. There are some responsibilities here. And you, if you only go for the blessing, you'll find out life is all about the blessing. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. And you'll know the truth. You'll know all about those things, but you won't be able to walk in them. Very frustrating. And many people are frustrated today with the church, because the church is the messenger, and if things don't work out, they hate the church for that. But if you want to step into the fullness of your redemption, you need to understand ownership well. You don't live to yourself anymore. You are the Lord's. Whether you live or die, you are God's. He owns you now. And He now will tell you how to live. And it's all in here. It's all in here. Now, I don't want to go into too much specifics, but I want to tell you out of my own life. Sometimes find it tough to always please God. And then the Bible teaches us, it says, find out what is pleasing unto the Lord. And even puts that responsibility on us. Find out what is pleasing unto Him. What will give Him joy? And then you go and do that. Because you live unto Him. You don't live unto yourself. You cannot make decisions of how you will live your life just on your own. Because if you do, you live unto yourself and you're going to miss the fullness of your redemption. Now, I believe you'll go to heaven when you die. I believe you will. But I don't believe that you will fully understand while you live on the earth what a joy it is to really live and move and have your being in Him. You'll live your life in compartments. There's the church compartment, and it's 1 or 2 hours on a Sunday morning, and then you shut that door, and the rest is something else. No, He owns 7 days. He owns you 24/7. If He wants to wake you up 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, then you have to be woken up and listen to Him. Because He's going to give you some things that you need to live by. And if you say, no, I'm sleeping this time of the day, I don't have time to make notes, you're going to miss out on some good things that God wanted to bring into your life. Ask me, I know that one very well. God just has a way of doing that when you want to sleep. He wants to talk to you. And when I say, this is so big, this is so important, this is so wonderful, I'll never forget it. Wake up the next morning, what was it? Forgot. Because I did not live in that submission. 1 Corinthians 6. Or do you not know, 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? You are not your own. For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He owns it all. He owns it all. And you need to glorify God in your body and in your spirit, because both belong to God. Now, I've been around long enough, and I've been dealing with people long enough, and I have my own self as a good example, that when we begin to make some decisions that are not in God's will, we pay the price for it. We pay the price. And you can pray as much as you like, and you can fast as much as you like, but if you don't begin to submit to God, the answer will not come. The only answer that will come is submit to God. Then we'll talk about the next step. Submit to God. Open up to God. Let Him speak into your life. Let Him lead you. Let Him guide you. Let Him order your steps. And I've seen people, especially in the beginning of their commitment to the Lord, They're full of zeal, they're full of fire, they want to do things for God, they want to run with God, they have new ideas and plans. Boy, they exhaust you. But that's not how we win the battle. That's not how we win the race. We win the race at the end. The consistency is what releases the power. And they can run fast and in the beginning and do all things and be at everything. They're at all the prayer meetings and all the services, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening, Monday evening, and all. They're all there. And then they begin to drop this one, they begin to drop that one, and their faces become longer. Because life is beginning to get tough. And the burdens become heavy. Because the submission is gone. And I'm walking back to the curse slowly, step by step, through disobedience and through owning myself and being my own Lord. I'm walking back to the curse, step by step. And I wonder and I ask the pastor to pray and I ask everybody else to pray. And it doesn't help because I'm still walking back to the curse. Come on, say amen, someone.
Amen.
Help me. It's difficult for me also. It's sometimes fun to stand here, but not always. That was point number two. Point number three. We need to understand that Jesus is our redemption. He is our redemption, not you. He is. That's good news. He is our redemption. As long as I am in Him, I can live in my redemption. All I have to do is make sure He is in me and I am in Him. That's what He said. He said, when you obey me, my Father and I will come and we will make our home with you. And then He said, I will be in you and you will be in me. And as long as we're in that unity, Jesus Christ will be our redemption. We don't have to worry about living by legalistic ideas and by laws and doing this and not doing that. Because we're in Him, we will have our being in Him and we will live and move in Him. Amen. And that will bring us to the fullness of our redemption. But when you try to live by do this and don't do that, you're going to miss it. It's hard. It's tough. You cannot do it. They couldn't live by the law. And you cannot live by the law. You have to live in grace. By understanding, as long as I am in Him, the fullness of what Jesus died for will be mine because I'm in Him. And I live in Him. I don't live in me, so to speak. He is my redemption. 1 Corinthians 26. 1 Corinthians 1, 26. First chapter. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26. For see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, because those things don't matter to God. You don't have to be wise, you don't have to be noble, you don't have to be any of those things to live in the fullness of your redemption. 27, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are. I like that. That no flesh should glory in His presence. As you really read through the Bible, you will find out God never picked someone at the top. Never. He always took, who was that again? Who's that? I don't know him. Who's his father? Who's his family? That's why when the Bible begins to give a name, they give a whole list of names to tell you who this man really is because nobody seems to know him. You know? Go back generations and generations just for you to understand who that really is. Because God's going to use him now. So if you feel you're not very wise, you're not very mighty, you're not this or that, be ready. God wants to pick you.
Amen.
He wants to lay his hand on you. And in you, show the wise what real wisdom is. 30. But of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom. See, if you're in Christ, you will have wisdom because you're in him. And righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. See, if you try to live those things, you will fail. Now, you don't have to try that. Learn that from me. I tried it. It doesn't work. You cannot sanctify yourself. You cannot have your own wisdom and think you'll make it through this world. Some people still need to find that one out. They're still trying hard with their own wisdom to make it. And, you know, sometimes you wonder how many times you need to bump your head before you wake up and Christ is my wisdom. I live in him. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. All I can say is, God did it. I didn't do that. God did that. That is God. That is God. So, the next thing is, Jesus is our redemption. Don't try it with your own efforts. Don't think you'll make it. Let Jesus be your redemption. Amen. Not only your redeemer, but your redemption. Let him be your redemption. As you live in him, he will be your redemption. Number 4. More good news. Our redemption is eternal. Book of Hebrews, chapter 9. Our redemption is eternal. It's not here today and gone tomorrow. Today I feel good, tomorrow I don't feel so good. Today I feel saved, tomorrow I don't feel saved. Our redemption is eternal. Now that doesn't mean that once you're redeemed, you can do what you like because you're going to heaven anyway. Be careful. Be careful. The Bible warns us against that. That's not what it means. What it means is that as you enter into it and you stay there, you're guaranteed, and we'll get to that. Hebrews 9:11. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered into the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Eternal redemption. That means he's not going to die again just to save you again from what you did after you were first redeemed. It was an eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Amen. Amen. Our redemption is an eternal redemption. It is not something that God's going to turn his back on. It's not something that God can walk away from. No, it's done. It's done. When that blood flowed out of his side, your eternal redemption was purchased, and it was a full redemption. He didn't exclude anything from the curse. He paid the whole price for your sins and mine so that we could enter into a full redemption. Now, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. I want you to go to Ephesians, and I'm reading from the Amplified. Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. We have the Holy Spirit, and he is to us a seal. Our redemption is sealed. Our redemption is sealed. I want to read from verse 7 to 10 first. Ephesians 1. Verse 7. In him we have redemption, deliverance and salvation. Through his blood, the remission or forgiveness of our offenses, our shortcomings and trespasses, in accordance with the riches and the generosity of his gracious favor, which he lavished upon us in every kind of wisdom and understanding, practical insight and prudence, making known to us the mystery of his will, of his plan, of his purpose. And it is this: in accordance with his good pleasure, his merciful intention, which he had previously purposed and set forth in him, he planned for the maturity of the times and the climax of the ages to unify all things and head them up and consummate them in Christ, both things in heaven and things on the earth. Verse 13. In him you also, who have heard the word of truth, the glad tidings of your salvation, and have believed in, and have adhered to, and have relied on him, were stamped with the seal of the long promised Holy Spirit. So when you look at yourself, see yourself with a stamp on you. Guaranteed. There's a seal on you. You're marked. 14. That Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance, the first fruit, the pledge and foretaste, the down payment of on our heritage in anticipation of its full redemption and acquiring complete possession of it to the praise of his glory. Now he's talking here about the Holy Spirit being our down payment, which means there's something more coming. This is not all of it, but this is a down payment, and we have a guarantee. The transaction is done. Now, I don't know if you watch the business news, but you sometimes see they talk about the futures market. I worked in the bank, and I worked in the foreign exchange department, and we sold currency at future dates. We would take a certain amount of dollars and sell it at a future date to a client. He'll only pay it on that date, but today we determine the rate. The price is paid, we locked in. On that day, the whole thing will be done. It's a future transaction, but we do it today. Now, that's what the Holy Spirit came to do us. He entered us into a futures contract, and he gave us a foretaste. He put his stamp on the contract. He says, this one is redeemed. And there's a down payment here, which means there's something that you can have, you can enjoy of this contract already. But there's a day coming when the transaction will be completed. And that day we'll talk about. But it has to do with your body. It has to do with your body. But your spirit man is redeemed. The price is fully paid. And now we live out of our spirit man. And he talks about a day of redemption in Romans 8. And we go there and we're almost done. Romans 8. And we need to understand that there is something coming, but it has to do with our flesh. Romans 8:22. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, that's a down payment, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. What does that mean? Paul says, sin lives in my body. That's where sin dwells. It's in the flesh. It's in the flesh. He looked at himself one day and he said, what a wretched man I am. Who will deliver me of this body of sin? That is what he was talking about. He said, inside of me, I want to serve God. I have a desire to please God. But I have this wretched body that doesn't want to cooperate with me. It wants to do things that don't please God. I want to go this way, the body wants to go that way. I want to go and serve God, the body says, no, Sunday evening, you put your feet up and pray and sit down because you're tired. That's what the flesh does. The spirit man says, I want to go and join myself to the prayer meeting. We're going to unite ourselves and cry out to God with one voice. The flesh says, it's Wednesday evening. It's the middle of the week. You have the week behind you. You're tired. It's a whole lot easier to just put your feet up and watch the news and everything else that comes after the news. And then we feel, well, you know what? I wasted an evening. I could have done something to edify myself. I could have done some kingdom business together with the saints. I could have done something with eternal value. But I wasted the time. And there's this frustration on the inside. That's the fight he's talking about. The spirit and the flesh are fighting. And they're fighting. And he says, a day will come when you, that body will be redeemed. And the Bible says that we don't know what we will be like, but we will be like him. When our body will be renewed. And we will have a body just like his. There's a fullness still coming. But right now, we are living in the fullness of our redemption according to the spirit man. And out of our spirit flows all the issues of life, the Bible says. And this is where we need to connect with God and submit to him and say, I'm going to walk in the fullness of this. I'm tired of struggling on in my own strength. I'm tired. Christ is now my redemption. And I'm going to live in him. I'm going to move in him. And I'm going to have my being in him. He now becomes my redemption. And I'm going to allow him to control my life and be the Lord of my life. Because I want all that Jesus paid for. I want it all. I'm tired of lack. I'm tired of sickness. I'm tired of poverty. I'm tired of living according to the law. I cannot do it. I give up. And when we give up, I can either sit down at home, as so many do, or I can say, he now becomes my redemption. I'm going to live in him. I'm going to be edified by him. I'm going to be so taken up in him and he in me that I cannot be separated from him. And that is how I'm going to live. And now we enter into the fullness of my redemption. And I don't have to worry about those things, the curse of the law, because Christ has redeemed me from all those things. I'm a free person. I'm a free person at last. Now, we're going to do a confession. But I want to tell you that this confession is something that we ought to do not only on a Sunday morning and not only early in the morning as some do, but you need to do it all day long. You need to fill your mind with the truth all day long. Because if you don't change your thinking, you cannot change your life. And if you don't put the truth into your mind, you will have a carnal mind that will side with the flesh and will draw you back to the old life. This is what you need to think of every day, all day long. Every now and then, you need to say, I'm redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You have to say it. I'm redeemed. Say it 10 times a day. Say it 20 times a day. Let it fill your mind and your whole being. And live according to it. Let's all stand. Now, just stand nice and tall. Straighten your shoulders. Let's stand with attitude. We're the redeemed of the Lord. Amen. Amen. We're not going to stand bent over and tired and, oh. No, we're going to stand tall because now we're going to talk some things that are true. We're going to speak the truth into our own lives. And I will say it and you repeat after me. I am the redeemed of the Lord.
I am the redeemed of the Lord.
I am redeemed of the curse.
I am redeemed of the curse.
I am redeemed to God.
I am redeemed to God.
I don't belong to myself.
I do not belong to myself.
I do not live unto myself. Christ lives in me.
Christ lives in me.
My body belongs to God.
My body belongs to God.
My time belongs to God.
I am His
and He is
mine.
I'm sealed unto the day of redemption.
The Holy Spirit is my seal.
He's my guarantee.
And my down payment.
Christ is my redemption.
My redemption is eternal.
I now step into the fullness of my redemption. Today.
Today.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm a new creation.
Old things have passed away.
All things have become new.
I can win.
I can be healthy.
I can prosper.
I can have a good marriage.
My family can be blessed.
I can be free from fear.
I can be free from addiction.
I can be free from bad habits.
I can be free from unholy attractions.
I can be whole.
I can walk in the light.
I am valuable and precious to God.
Amen.
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 Amen.